Okay, if you'll take your Bible and turn with me at this time, we are in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15 this morning. Matthew 15, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 20. Our message series, the whole series we're in, is called Miracles in Controversy. And you may have noticed so far we've just been looking at miracles, right? But today we come to one of the sections dealing with controversy. And the controversy here is between Jesus and the religious leaders. It has to do with traditions, and it has to do with what makes a person clean or unclean in God's eyes. It's a fairly long passage of Scripture, so I'm not going to read it through at the beginning like we often do, but this morning we'll just read the verses section by section as we come to them in the message. But let's pray over the message as we begin. Dear Lord, this is your word, and as we look at this word, Father, I pray that we would learn not only about what happened to Jesus and the Pharisees and the disciples back then, but Lord, all that we're looking at today is so applicable to us as well. Lord, things really haven't changed that much. And so as we look at traditions, as we look at spiritual cleanness and what that means, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to see what you would, how you would have us respond to your word this morning. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So tradition, we're talking about tradition this morning. And of course, there are all sorts of traditions in life, right? We have family traditions. We have holiday traditions. We have community traditions. And by and large, traditions are a good thing. Traditions serve a useful function. They give us a sense of connection with other people. They also give us a sense of continuity with our past. And those are both good things, aren't they? Well, today we're going to be talking specifically about church traditions, religious traditions. And once again, there's nothing wrong with having traditions in the church. They can be a good thing, but when it comes to religious traditions, there are some things you need to watch out for. And that's what our passage is all about this morning. That's what Jesus warns us about. He warns us where those traditions can trip us up. And he says, watch out for these things when it comes to religious traditions or traditions in the church. In our passage, as we're going to see, the Pharisees approach Jesus because his disciples are breaking one of their traditions, a tradition about washing your hands before eating. And we'll talk about what that means in just a moment. And Jesus uses this opportunity to give some instructions. And first, he's going to give instruction about traditions in general, so instruction about traditions, and then he'll address the particular concern of the Pharisees about what is it that makes a person clean or unclean before God. There's an outline in your worship guide this morning. If you'd like to follow along, it might help you as we work our way through the message. We're going to look at both sets of these instructions this morning, but we're going to begin with Jesus' instruction about traditions. Traditions. And the first thing we learn about traditions from this passage, Jesus' first instruction for us is this. Do not judge other people by your traditions. Do not judge other people by your traditions. Let's take a look at this now. Verses 1 and 2, Matthew 15. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. Now, it's important for us to understand exactly what the Pharisees are talking about here. The hand washing that they're talking about, very different from what you and I do when we wash our hands before we eat, right? When we wash our hands, there's a good purpose for it. There's a sanitary reason, right? We don't want to touch our food with dirty hands that may be carrying germs or bacteria. And let's face it, we've probably all collectively together and individually, we've all washed our hands more in the past year, right, than we've ever done in our whole lives, right? We know the routine. We sing the song. We wash the back, the front. We go between the fingers. We do the 20 seconds, the 40 seconds. We wash our hands all the time, right? Well, for the Jews in Jesus' time, this was not so much a matter of personal hygiene as of ceremony. This is what the Pharisees are talking about here. They performed what we would call a ceremonial washing before eating. It wasn't the scrubbing and cleaning the hands. It was just dipping their hands in some water and taking them out. In fact, they may have dipped all the way up to the elbow as part of the ceremony. You would dip in the water and take your hands out, and then you would eat. It was a ceremonial washing. And the Pharisees called this the tradition of the elders. The elders here were the religious leaders, respected men in their community. I would include such people as the scribes, the Pharisees, the synagogue rulers. And the tradition of the elders, this tradition, this was a set of oral interpretations, verbal interpretations of the law that was passed down from one generation to the next. Now, here's what's key here. This is what's so important to understand. These traditions that they're talking about are not scripture. Okay, these were not scriptural commands. Rather, these were various applications of scripture as interpreted by the elders. For example, if we went just by the word of God, what does the Bible say? In the Bible, only the priests were required to perform these ceremonial washings. That was for the priests. So what happened? Over time, the elders, the religious leaders, began to apply these rules to the people as well. And so by the time you get to the time of Jesus, this became common practice for all the Jews. The problem arose when the Pharisees and the teachers of the law saw Jesus' disciples eating, and they didn't dip their hands first. They didn't do the ceremony. And so they bring their complaint to Jesus. What's the main problem here? The Jewish leaders are judging the disciples according to tradition rather than scripture. And once again, although there's nothing wrong with having certain traditions, you should not judge other people by your traditions. You know, every church, every family, every community, we have our traditions. We have our traditions here at our church, right? For example, we observe communion on the first Sunday of each month. Does the Bible tell us that's when we have to celebrate communion? No, that's one of our traditions. Another tradition, we sing both contemporary praise songs and hymns during our church services. We have a time of coffee and refreshments between the services, or at least we did before COVID. Once COVID is over, we'll go back to doing that again, right? There's nothing wrong with doing any of those things, but it would be wrong if we judged other people because they did it differently. If we found out that a church was doing communion on the last Sunday of the month, and we said, oh, no, you can't do that. It's first Sunday, right? Or if we found out, what, you don't have a donut hour? You don't serve coffee, no, and you call yourselves a church, right? Yeah, so, yeah, if we started judging people on our traditions, Jesus says that would be wrong. Now, there are some traditions, some practices that are causing a lot of stir in churches today. There's some hot-button issues in churches today, things such as worship style. What style of music do we sing? Dress. How should you dress coming to church? Should you wear Sunday best? Should you just dress like you do every day of the week? Should it be somewhere in between? People get really upset about these things. The use of media in the church, using slides or video projectors. The number or format of the services during the week. There is a shift that is taking place in church culture, and we need to be careful how we approach both the old and the new practices in the church. Younger people need to respect some of the older traditions, while older people need to remain open and learn to trust some of the newer practices. Not easy, is it? But just because we did it one way in the past doesn't necessarily mean that's the best way to do it today. Let me give you an example from the past. John Calvin, you may have heard of John Calvin centuries ago. John Calvin wore a hat in church while preaching. He wore a hat while preaching. You might wonder, well, why in the world did John Calvin wear a hat while preaching? Well, there's actually a very good reason. The building was drafty and there were pigeons flying around, okay? If we had pigeons in here, you know what? I'd probably wear a hat while preaching as well. But it would be silly for someone to say, you know what? John Calvin wore a hat while preaching. Every preacher should wear a hat today. Now, you see, there are good reasons to adopt some new traditions. There are good reasons to hold on to some older traditions. And there are good reasons to let go of some other traditions altogether. One of the wonderful things about the gospel is that the gospel is for all people in all cultures everywhere. It's for everyone. You know, when missionaries come, when we bring the gospel to a new people group in an unreached part of the world, we don't need to teach them Western culture along with the gospel. We don't need to teach them our language. Oh, I've got to teach you English so I can share the gospel with you, or our music forms. No, what do? We share the gospel with them in their own language. We learn their language. And then we allow the gospel to penetrate and to shape their culture accordingly. And so this way, they learn to praise God in their own language, and they're going to go ahead and they're going to write their own songs, and they'll adopt their own worship traditions that are appropriate to their culture. So coming back to our passage now, once again, nothing wrong with the Pharisees washing their hands before eating. Pharisees, knock yourselves out. Dip it three times if you want. It's okay. Nothing wrong with the ceremonial cleansing. But the Pharisees were wrong to judge the disciples for simply not keeping one of their traditions. That's our first principle this morning. Jesus' first instruction, do not judge other people by your traditions. And then a second important principle that Jesus teaches us, another instruction, is this. Do not hold your traditions as sacred. Do not hold your traditions as sacred. In other words, not only should we not hold other people to our traditions, but we should hold our own traditions loosely as well. Because sometimes traditions outlive their usefulness. Sometimes a tradition that worked just fine in the past can become a snare for us in the present. So what are some of the dangers of holding our traditions as sacred? Jesus brings out two of them. For one, number one, you are in danger of putting your tradition above God's word. You are in danger of putting your tradition above God's word. Look at Jesus' response to the Pharisees now in verses 3 through 6. They said, why do your disciples not wash their hands? Jesus replied, and why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother. And anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God, he is not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. So the Pharisees had a why question to Jesus. Why do your disciples not wash their hands? Jesus says, I have a why question for you. Why do you break God's command just to keep your tradition? You see, when you hold your own traditions as sacred, you are in danger of putting your tradition above God's word. Jesus gives them an example. He tells them what God's word says. God says, honor your father and mother. God says anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. Those are some pretty clear commands of Scripture. Now, that first one, honor your father and mother, that came from the Ten Commandments. That still applies today. That second one about, you know, if someone curses their mother or father, you put them to death, that was one of the national laws of Israel. That does not apply to us today. So any kids out there, if you cursed your mom or dad, okay, we're not going to execute you today, okay? That was one of the national laws of Israel. But it demonstrated the seriousness of the first law. Then Jesus, he contrasts what God says with what the Pharisees say. Do you see that contrast between verses 4 and 5? Jesus tells the Pharisees, he says, God said this, but you say that. God said this, you're saying that. In other words, what the Pharisees were saying contradicted what God says. And what were the Pharisees saying? They were saying it's okay for someone to tell their parents, you know, I was going to help you. I know you're in financial need, and I was going to help you, but you know what? I dedicated this to God instead, and so it's going to the temple. Sorry, Mom and Dad. Wish I could be there for you. Now, this was a tradition or practice known as Korban. Korban. A gift that was Korban was dedicated to God by an irrevocable vow. It was put under a ban so that it could not be used for any other purpose. The Pharisees were allowing people to put certain gifts under Korban as a way of shirking their responsibility to their parents. So here we have an example. It's the example Jesus gives, where a tradition was in direct contradiction to the Word of God. But guess what? Pharisees were going with tradition instead of Scripture. Once again, traditions are fine, but we need to be careful that we never elevate our traditions to the level of God's Word. We need to be careful that our traditions never take the place of God's commands. It's all too easy to take our man-made rules and put them in competition with what God tells us in His Word. And that leads us to the second danger that Jesus warns us about when we hold our traditions as sacred. Danger number two, you are in danger of participating in hypocritical and vain worship. You're in danger of participating in hypocritical and vain worship. Look at what Jesus says now in verses 7 through 9. He tells the Pharisees, he says, "You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." Jesus quotes from the prophet Isaiah, and he tells the Pharisees, he says, guess what? Isaiah's talking about you. He's talking about you. Look, Ma, I'm in the Bible. Well, that's not always a good thing, is it? It wasn't a good thing here. And Jesus has some strong words for the Pharisees, doesn't he? He says, "You hypocrites." Here they are. They're busy washing their hands before eating and observing all of these rituals and traditions, but they were not right with God in their hearts. Everything looked good on the outside, but there were deep spiritual problems within. They were worshiping God in vain. Why? Because their teachings were merely rules taught by men. When you hold your own traditions as sacred, this is the danger. You are in danger of hypocritical and vain worship. So let me ask you this morning, where is your heart today? Where is your heart in relation to God today? Are you guilty of what Jesus speaks of here, of honoring God with your lips, while your heart is far away from Him? We need to remember that the traditions and the customs and the forms of worship are they're only that. That's all they are. They're just traditions and customs and forms. And when you neglect your heart relationship with God and you rely on the outward tradition and forms instead, you put yourself in spiritual danger. Christian writer George MacDonald once wrote this. He wrote, "There is nothing so deadening to the divine as an habitual dealing with the outsides of holy things." Let me unpack that for you. It's a pretty heavy statement. There's nothing so deadening to the divine. What he means by the divine there is the influence of the Holy Spirit in your life. The influence of God's the presence of God's Holy Spirit, the influence of God's Spirit in your life. There's nothing so deadening to this sense of the divine than the habitual dealing, habit, just doing things out of habit with the outsides of holy things. We prayed the Lord's Prayer this morning. You can habitually deal with the outside of the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come," right? Or you can enter into the reality, the truth, "Our Father, oh God, you're my Father in heaven, oh praise you, hallowed be your name." You see, the habitual dealing with the outsides of things, that's going to, it's going to snuff out the spiritual life within you. God doesn't want you just to go through the motions. He wants your heartfelt worship, obedience, repentance, and prayer. And so those are Jesus' instructions about traditions. Two real good instructions, right? Don't judge other people by your traditions. Do not hold your traditions as sacred. God's word, God's commands always come before man-made traditions. rules and regulations. Now Jesus moves on to the next part, the specific concern of the Pharisees. And he gives us instruction now about spiritual uncleanness. Spiritual uncleanness. And in these next verses, Jesus shows us that spiritual uncleanness is something that comes from within a person, not from without. And here he makes two important statements. First of all, nothing that enters you from the outside can make you unclean. Let me say that again. Nothing that enters you from the outside can make you unclean. Look at verses 10 and 11. Jesus called the crowd to him and he said, "Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean." The Pharisees were concerned about hand washing. Why? Because they wanted to be clean before God. But Jesus says it here quite plainly. He says, hey, nothing that enters you from the outside is going to make you unclean. In other words, this ceremonial washing was not necessary. It's not what comes from outside and enters you that makes you unclean. It's what comes out of you. The Pharisees weren't real happy with this teaching, and apparently the disciples got wind of it, and they come and talk to Jesus. Look at verses 12 through 14. The disciples came to him and asked him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" Jesus replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit." So the disciples tell Jesus about the Pharisees. Jesus responds with two brief parables. First, he uses the illustration of a plant. "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted is going to be pulled up by the roots." Pulled up by the roots. You see, the Pharisees had substituted their traditions for the Word of God. And any time you abandon the Word of God, you are no longer speaking for God, but for yourself. God's word endures forever. Therefore, those who abandon God's word will be like what? Like a plant pulled up by the roots. It's a picture of final judgment, isn't it? A plant pulled up by the roots is never going to grow again. A word of judgment against the Pharisees. And then Jesus uses the illustration of the blind guide. He says, "Leave them. They're blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into the pit." The disciples are all worried about the Pharisees' reaction. Jesus says, ignore them. They have abandoned the light of God's word, and that makes them blind guides. And you know what? The blind guide not only falls into the pit himself, right? But if you're following him, if you're listening to them, you're going to fall in right behind them. And that's what Jesus says. He says, leave them alone. Jesus' first instruction about spiritual uncleanness, it's not the outside. Nothing that enters you from the outside can make you unclean. And then the second instruction is this. It's not what comes from the outside. Rather, it is the evil that comes out of your heart that makes you unclean. The evil that's in your heart that comes out, that's what makes a person unclean. Look at verses 15 through 18. Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean." Peter asked Jesus to explain the parable to him. He's not talking about the two parables about the Pharisees. He's talking about asking about what Jesus said earlier in verse 11 when Jesus said, it's not what goes into the mouth that makes you unclean, it's what comes out of the mouth. Peter understands it on a physical level, but he wants Jesus to give this spiritual meaning. Remember when we studied the parables in Matthew 13? You know, they were earthly stories, but they had a spiritual meaning behind them. And so Jesus explains. He says, I'm not talking about food. It's not food that makes you clean or unclean before God. Any food that you eat goes straight into your stomach, then it leaves your body. Food is physical. But being clean before God is not a physical matter. It is a spiritual matter. It is a matter of the heart. And that's why it's the things that come out of the mouth that make a person unclean. Because those things that come out of your mouth, where do they come from? They come from your heart. That's what makes you spiritually unclean. And then Jesus gives us a list of the types of things that come out of your heart and can make you unclean before God. Look at verses 19 and 20. He says, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean." This is what we call a vice list. A vice list. Now, there are a number of vice lists in the New Testament, but this is the only one we find in the Gospels. We find it here and in the parallel passage to this in the Gospel of Mark. Whenever you see a vice list in the Bible, okay, whenever you see one of these lists, you're supposed to stop and take inventory. That's what it's there for. You stop and take inventory. So if we could put the slide of verse 19 back up there, perfect. Let's take a look at this now. You stop, you look, you ask yourself, which of these is a problem in my life right now? Where am I falling short? Where do I need your help, Lord, to grow as a Christian? That's what you do. Whenever you see a vice list in the Scripture, you take a good look at the list, you take a good look at yourself, and you take inventory of your life. Now, I'm not going to take the time to go through each of the vices listed here. You can see them. Most of them are self-explanatory. But Jesus' point is this. Jesus says that spiritual uncleanness is neither physical nor ceremonial. Rather, spiritual uncleanness is moral. It's moral. Sin does not come from external things. It originates within the human heart. I like the way one preacher puts it. He said this, "Every sin is an inside job." I like that. Think about that. Every sin is an inside job, because every sin you've ever committed, where did it come from? Where does it begin? It comes out of your own heart. It begins in your heart. It's an inside job. Nothing that enters you from the outside can make you unclean. Rather, it is the evil that comes out of your own heart that makes you unclean. And that means we need to face something, right? We have evil in our hearts. All the sin that we do, we can't blame it on outside stuff. It's like, oh, they made me do it. No, it just revealed something in you, in me. Something wrong with our hearts. We are all sinners in need of a Savior. We don't need physical cleansing. We don't need ceremonial cleansing. We need spiritual cleansing. So what is the solution? How do you become spiritually clean before God? That's our big question for the whole morning, right? That's where we started with, way back before the message, way back with the praise song. How do you become spiritually clean before God? And I want to share with you two things in closing here. First of all, you need an initial cleansing. You need an initial cleansing. Spiritual cleansing begins with what Scripture calls the washing of rebirth. You must be born again. You must be saved. You must receive new life in Christ. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says this, "God saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy." He saved us through what? Here it comes now. The washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, your sins are forgiven. And God gives you His Holy Spirit to wash your sins away and to make you pure and clean in His sight. Spiritual cleansing begins where? It begins with the washing of rebirth, an initial cleansing. And then after this initial cleansing, then you need continual cleansing. Continual cleansing. And this continual cleansing takes place as you continually confess your sins to God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. I love this verse. I use it almost every day. It says, "If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just, and He will forgive us our sins, and He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Confess your sin. Unconfessed sin will harden your heart. It will keep you away from God. So what do you need to do? You need to take constant inventory of your life and confess sin to God every day. Every day you need to ask God, "God, what in my life is displeasing to You? Lord, where do I need to change?" You can use the vice lists in Scripture. if you need to. But confess your sin to God and then make a conscious decision to turn away from that sin. Do what you need to do to make things right, which often means apologizing to other people or making some type of restitution. Confess your sin to God every day and allow God to continually cleanse your heart. Now, it's best to keep short accounts with God, to confess your sins to Him throughout the day. As soon as you know you've sinned, that's when you confess it. Sort of like washing your hands throughout the day, right? You don't just wash your hands in the morning and say, okay, I'm all set till tomorrow, right? No, every time you come across something dirty or something like that, you wash your hands again. You get the hand sanitizer out. So yeah, you want to confess your sins to God throughout the day. That's like washing your hands. But you know what? It's also good to take a spiritual shower every night before you go to sleep. And when you're lying in your bed at night, stop and think about your day. Talk to God, thank Him, praise Him, but also confess any known sin to God, any sins that maybe you forgot to confess during the day. Take your spiritual shower at night before you go to sleep. And then go to sleep with a clean heart and a clean conscience. You know, the Pharisees, they were so wrapped up in their traditions, they were missing out on a heart relationship with God. So my word to you this morning is don't just go through the motions of being a Christian. Don't just go through the motions. Give your heart to Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus and then give it to Him again every single day. There is nothing in this world that compares with knowing God and knowing God's forgiveness in your life. There's nothing better than being clean in your heart before God. What could be better than that? And it only comes through trusting Christ as your Savior and confessing your sin to God daily. Jesus is a great Savior, and He invites you into a life of spiritual cleanness every day. Let us pray. Well, Father in heaven, we thank You for this passage this morning. We thank You for the spiritual truth that it teaches us. We thank You for the challenge it presents in our own lives. As we look at our own lives, have we been holding on to some traditions that maybe we really don't need to? Have we been disrespectful of other people and their traditions? Have we been putting our traditions above the Word of God? Lord, we confess our sin to You. And Lord, You teach us about our hearts. It's not what comes from the outside that makes us unclean. It's all inside us, Lord. Lord, our hearts are really messed up. Messed up by sin, messed up with sin. And Lord, we're sorry for the evil that comes out of our hearts and out of our mouth and into this world and hurts other people and affects other people. Lord, how we need Your spiritual cleansing every day in our lives. Lord Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank You for making a way to clean my heart and keep me clean before You. I love You, Lord. I pray, God, that You would now apply this word to each of our hearts and lives as we bring it home with us. Change us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.